But hey, we've been talking about sheep, right? We've been talking about John chapter 10. And we're going to keep talking about John chapter 10 for a little bit. And we've been looking at kind of the background of this, and we've been looking at some of the images. Last week we looked at the first I am that is found in John chapter 10 with I am the gate. And I noticed today, and I kind of enjoyed, kind of tossed up a softball title for Kathy and for Bill. I used to do boring titles of things. When I was in college, a friend of mine, some of you know Brad Vise, he teased me about how boring my titles for papers were, and his were always far more interesting. And so I tried to be better about that. And so we start having fun sermon titles, and Kathy starts to say, I don't know what to do for a sermon titled The Blind Eating the Blind. Or she never told me she was a mime, or things like that. And so Kathy started doing no picture for the sermon. And then this week I say, we're going to do The Good Shepherd. We have a picture. And Bill found all kinds of shepherd songs. This is an image that we identify with, that get excited about. Before we dig into John 10, I remembered this week, I forgot last week and got rolling, I mentioned the charity list for Hope House. And we had been collecting monthly items, and that was something they needed, especially through the summer when they have some of the summer programs running. And then we did the blankets for their Christmas giveaway, which I keep getting notes and calls from them about just what a big deal all those blankets from the congregation were. But like I mentioned last week, their new building, the Essex building, Riley was here and he shared, is one of those very much God things where a building right across from the school they've been trying to work with, they had tried to acquire previously, said, do you want this building? He said, okay. And then right after that, the school said, we need a nonprofit to list as an official nonprofit working with us. Would you guys mind doing that? And they said, okay, we could do that. But as we saw in the pictures that Riley shared in September, the place was gutted and had a lot of work to do. And this is what it looks like now. And they're ready to start having groups in there. Now they're trying to furnish and get their supplies. So last week there was a big messy link address there. Here's a tidier, easier one to go with now. And you can go to that site, and I don't remember if I took the time to do this since I didn't do it as planned last week. And it'll bring up this list of things they say they need or might like at their new building at Essex. And you can either buy it and have it sent straight to Hope House, or you can buy it and have it sent to you, and we'll put it on the table and we'll deliver it in a big delivery, whichever works better for you. That's something that we have an opportunity to do. That showed on there, right? Okay. I never know. Fun with technology. So if you have any questions on that, let me know. But that's an opportunity that we have. So, back to a boring slide here. The Good Shepherd. This is the I am statement from John chapter 10 that we get most excited about, I think. You know, we appreciate the I am the gate for the sheep, but I am the Good Shepherd is special. We're going to look at this statement, I am the Good Shepherd, at least this week and next week, because of all that has going into it. This shepherd imagery that we have here in John 10 and that we pick up in other places is something that the church has really clung on to. This identity of Jesus as caring for the sheep is something that I think we all can identify with and appreciate. Yes. I want to look at one aspect of this week that maybe we don't focus on as much, because we're going to get to next week the laying down his life for the sheep. That's going to happen. We're not going to overlook that at all. But I want to bring out an aspect that Jesus brings up a lot in chapter 10, and I've mentioned a few times. He brings up this idea that the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He started off, before we get to the good shepherd stuff, he says, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They don't follow the stranger because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. This idea of they know the voice and he knows their name and he calls them and they follow. And there's this relationship of intimate knowing between the shepherd and the sheep they don't have with others. Later in the chapter, when he's talking about I am the good shepherd, he says, I know my sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Hit pause on that. We'll talk about that moment more next week. He talks about the sheep that I have that are in another pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. These ideas of Jesus speaks and those who are his sheep will hear is a big idea in John. Jesus talks about hearing and following frequently. We're going to do a little bit of jumping around. We're based in John 10, but some of these ideas, you know, like we mentioned, John, the way that the book is put together, it has these themes that reach all across. And Jesus talks in John chapter 5 about hearing and believing. He says, if you hear my words and you believe them, you believe the one who sent me, you'll have eternal life and not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. He says, I tell you, a time is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. This sounds like what he's talking about with the sheep. He says, my people, my sheep, when they hear my voice, they come running. He says, even the dead, when they hear the voice, they'll come. Because he has life, because he has authority, because he is the good shepherd. He says, don't be amazed. There's a time coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. And we won't focus on the other ones. We're focusing on the good news about the sheep. We're focusing on he will speak. And if you are his sheep, you're going to hear. And his sheep will follow. And so he's been saying this. He's been talking about listen and believe. And so he comes to John 10 and he's fleshing out this idea of the good shepherd and of the sheep and following the voices. And so later in chapter 10 here, this is not the same location. This is just after this discourse which happened at the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a quick divide, and has Jesus at another holiday. He's at Hanukkah, actually, and he's talking more about the same thing. And they say to him, "I wish you would speak to us plainly." And in class, we looked at parable of the sower. You know, you look at that, and you think this is nice. That's one of the times that Jesus actually explains himself when he tells one of his parables. You see a lot of times where they say, "I wish he would speak to us plainly," and that's what they say to him at this time, at this Hanukkah celebration. They say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus says, "I did tell you. I've been telling you, but you did not believe. You do not believe because you are not my sheep." And then here it is again. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." He says, "I told you that already." And in fact, we looked at something back in John 5 a couple weeks ago. We saw him telling them that already. This idea, "They will not be taken out of my hand." In John 5, he has this statement of, "Whoever comes to me, I'll not drive them away." Remember, we were looking at the man in John 9 who was being kicked out. And Jesus came to the rescue and said, "You send people out. I'm here to keep them in." Says, "I shall lose none of all those he has given me. They'll raise them up at the last day." Says, "I told you. I told you that those who are my sheep will recognize me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Luke prayed a little bit ago here about where we were before and where we stand now, and how our lives made us as enemies. But that's not how Jesus looks at us. He says, "It's my sheep. I'm going to call him. He's going to follow." There are a few times as we read on in John that we see this idea of Jesus calling his people and them recognizing his voice, that we see it played out. And we see some people struggling. You know, we look at these texts and we talk about hearing the voice of Jesus. And sometimes we talk about following Jesus' voice, hearing Jesus' voice, doing what he says as a daily thing. And I think there are lessons to talk about how we can see the word, how we can take that and we can follow the words of Jesus, and we can say that as following the voice of the Good Shepherd. But I also think that there is within believers a desire for a greater call. A desire to more clearly hear. Something that wants more. I can appreciate the words in the Bible, but I want to hear a voice. I want some answers, some clarity. And that's not a new thing. We see some of these same struggles. I don't know if we can call it impatience, if we can call it yearning, if we can call it just seeking. We see some people concerned that they haven't heard what they're listening for. Now, sometimes the voice that comes is when we think it's too late. In John chapter 20, we see Mary. This would be Mary Magdalene. Mary thinks it's too late. Thinks the story's over. She's crying. I didn't know what else to do. Maybe you've been there. I saw two angels in white seated where Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she was too sad to give a sarcastic answer, "That's a dumb question." She said, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where have you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and cried out, "Teacher." And sometimes we move on quickly from this and get to, you know, she tries to grab onto him and says, "Don't grab on." We say, "That's weird." And we start to talk about some of these ideas of what it is about Jesus in his resurrected form. But let's not jump past this here. She's looking for an answer that she has a feeling is gone. She has a feeling it's too late. She doesn't know how this is going to work out. And Jesus comes to her and she doesn't recognize him until he calls his own sheep by name. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd has gone on ahead, like it says here. He had gone. But he did not leave his followers behind. He still called to Mary. And just like he said he would, as the good shepherd, he calls them by name, and they will know his voice. They're going to follow. It wasn't too late. Mary did hear that voice, and when she did, she knew what to do. Sometimes there's a situation where everybody thinks it's too late. Everybody agrees that it's too late. Closer to where we're looking, in John chapter 11, right after all this sheep and shepherd talk, we jump back to narrative, and we get a very, very famous scene of Jesus called to come be with his friend who is sick. Lazarus, the one you love, is sick, Mary and Martha say. And he shows up too late. His disciples said, "We got to go quickly or it's going to be too late." And he says, "We'll go eventually." And he shows up, and over again, people say, "If you had only been here." Immediately shows up and Martha says, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I know you could have done it. If you had gotten here in time, you could have healed him. I've seen you do it. I know you love him. I know you could have done it." And he takes some time to teach Martha a little bit. And after he's done doing that, Mary runs up, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We were just talking about that." And he teaches Mary a little bit. And he starts struggling a little bit. And we see Jesus break down in tears. Or more succinctly, briefly, says, Jesus wept. by Jesus breaks down in tears, and people observe that, look how much he loved him, and he calls out to Lazarus. He says, come out. Again, he calls the name, and they follow. But people observe that, and they say, wow, he really loved him. But some people still can't get over. Says, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? And again, we've talked at times about the way questions with negatives in Greek work. They tell you what answer they expect. He said, he could have kept him from dying. Couldn't he have? Jesus showed that it wasn't too late. Everybody knew it was too late. But when the shepherd calls, the sheep recognize the voice. And they come. And they were amazed. Even though, remember we already looked at, don't be amazed. For a time is coming where all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. I told you, when I call the dead, they will come. I told you when I call my sheep, they will come. Why are you surprised that when I call one of my dead sheep, they come? Jesus says, that's what I'm here to do. And it's not too late just because he's dead, and it's not too late just because I'm dead. Jesus' work will be done. The voice will be heard if we are in the flock. I want to look at one more example in this book. I came across, I was looking at one of these texts, and it made me think a little differently about the way I look at a scene in here. We've talked before, and it's been a while, about John 21. And there's this comparison between Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, who we assume is John, who we know is the one who wrote this gospel. And they have this interaction where Jesus has been talking with Peter, and we're going to get into that conversation in upcoming weeks. But at the end of it, he tells Peter, using probably a lot more words than necessary, but I'm not going to criticize, it's Jesus, tells him he's going to suffer. He's going to die. That following Jesus is going to lead to his death. And said to him, follow me. And then we've looked at this response. He turns around and says, he sees the disciple who Jesus loves and says, what about him? And Jesus says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. And there's this strange mention of, because Jesus said that, people started coming up with these rumors that this guy was never going to, that John was never going to die. He was going to live forever. He said, but that's not what he said. He just says, if I want him to remain, what's that to you? He says, but to Peter, he says, you suffer and follow, even though following is going to mean suffering. He's going to remain. I have always looked at this text as a jealous moment for Peter. Peter realizing the suffering he's going to have to do and being jealous of John because he doesn't have the same thing told to him. I'm not so sure now. Especially considering this was written by the beloved disciple. And given this emphasis on what an incredible blessing it is to be called to follow, I wonder if there is a level of jealousy here on the part of John. Just talk about, have you ever wished you could hear that voice more clearly? Have you ever desired to know exactly what I'm supposed to do? Have you ever thought about how incredible it will be to be with Jesus? From the traditions that we have of what happened to these guys, by the time this is written, Peter was dead. He suffered, he died, he followed. He went home. And John's still waiting. He became an old man. He kept teaching. He kept trying to teach these things and kept trying to expose others to what he was blessed to get. And he kept trying to teach what it meant to be the sheep, but he was still waiting. Lazarus heard the call, and Mary heard the call. Peter heard, "Follow me." And I wonder if John thinks back to the first time he was called. Get out of that boat, come follow me. And he sees these words given to Peter at the end of come follow me. And I wonder if there is something within him that has that same desire to hear that call. Hear the voice. To hear the shepherd say, "I've gone on. Come on." I don't know. Maybe there's some jealousy here of Peter. And maybe that goes into the statement that we have of what we call the purpose statement of the book of John. It says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may keep believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." It's really easy to reduce following the voice of Jesus to reading your Bible every day. Okay, this one says don't lie. I'll try not to do that. And this one says greet each other with a holy kiss. Well, we'll figure out how to make that work. And it's really easy just to turn following Jesus' voice into some academic study. But he's talking about something a lot bigger than that. He made it very clear in John 10, both in the positive sense to his disciples and the negative sense to the Pharisees that he was speaking to, that there's going to come a time that he's going to call. And those who have heard and believe are going to hear his voice, and they're going to hear their name, and they're going to know what to do, and they're going to follow. Whether you're alive or you're already, to use Paul's euphemism, fallen asleep, if you're in the pew or in the grave, everybody hears the call. And if you are one of his sheep, gonna come running. I remember sharing a few weeks ago that somebody talking about being over in Israel and seeing shepherds, number of flocks all mixed together. Says, how are they ever going to get these sorted out? Each shepherd called, and everybody sorted it out. It's hard waiting. John knows that. Sometimes it's hard in other ways. Sometimes it's hard in the way like Peter, who suffered a lot. Sometimes it's hard waiting. We don't face a lot of persecution like Peter did. But we might understand the weight like John did. And I love the way this listening and following voice motif goes throughout this book and comes to this conclusion of, I told you what you need to hear about Jesus. Enough that you can fulfill my desire for you. Just to keep believing. Keep listening. I don't know when the call's coming. I'm waiting for it too. But make sure that you're in the right fold. So next week we're going to talk a little more about Jesus acting as shepherd. We're going to talk more about the sacrifice that Jesus made. Remember, we started this off by saying, let's acknowledge that we're sheep and that we need a shepherd. And so that's where we stand now. If there's anything you need today, this is family time. We would love to listen to you, pray for you, hug you, cry with you, whatever you need. Come forward as we stand and sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided